able to praise Him. Amen. Beautiful song. Thank you so much for the music tonight. It's been good. It's been a blessing. Ephesians chapter 4. Would you turn there as we talk about the essence of marriage? We're preaching a few messages on the home, marriage, different aspects of the home. Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, just two verses. And as I've mentioned before, these principles will work in any area of life. It doesn't just have to be in the marriage, but it certainly will work there. And there are times that obviously every marriage needs these things, and no doubt even tonight there are some that really need this. But the principles are good principles, whether it's dealing with marriage or relationships of any kind. In Ephesians 4, verse 2, he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Now watch the wording here. Forbearing one another in, what does it say, class? Love. Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity, peace, forbearing, meekness, endeavoring. What important words in these two verses of Scripture in relationship to marriage. A lot of times a man comes in from work, sits down in his easy chair, gets his newspaper, and the wife wants to talk to him and says, honey, I wish you'd communicate with me a little bit. And he says, well, honey, I've communicated down the office all day long. Isn't that enough? Some of you ladies are smiling. Some of you men are looking sick. I communicated at work. Did you know that in a marriage, communication is important? It is very, very important. Sometimes the problem is the wife is a chatterbox and the husband is a sphinx, and he doesn't get to say anything because she's always doing the talking. And then she says, but my husband just never communicates with me. The problem is you don't give him a chance to communicate with you sometimes. And that is a problem of some women, not all women, but some women. There are different levels of communication, and I want to share about five of those with you. You can decide where you are tonight. And this, as I said, can be involving other relationships, father, children, so on and so forth, and brothers and sisters, but primarily thinking about marriage. The lowest level of communication is what we would call cliche communication. This would be sort of the common thing that everybody does. Cliche communication. It goes sort of like this. Good morning. How are you this morning? Did you have a good night's rest? Pretty good night's rest. Well, I'm glad you did. And then you say, listen, my car needs some gas in it. Be sure, if you're driving that one today, be sure and get a little gas in it. And on the way home, if you don't mind, stop by and pick up some bread and some milk. We're going to need that. All right, good. Have a good day. And so we have just sort of cliche conversation. Nothing wrong with any of that. But that's just common stuff. And then sometimes we report on the facts about others. We begin to talk a little bit, and we talk about, well, I read this today, or so-and-so had a wreck today, or the boss's wife had a gallbladder removed today, or something of that nature. And a lot of times that's the level that we call gossip. A lot of times we communicate on the level of gossip. Did you hear? Have you heard about so-and-so? And we have that communication. And then there's another area of communication where we express our ideas and we express our judgments about issues and about events in life. You know, each individual really has their own personality and their own ideas, and they should be able to voice those without feeling like somebody's going to take their head off or shoot them. And when you do this kind of communication, you're exposing a piece of yourself to somebody else. You're letting them really sort of get on the inside of you a little bit. And when you do that, a lot of times we try to avoid any kind of danger. We're like politicians. And we'd say, now what do you think about that? And then you would say, well, this is what I think about it. And as a good politician would say, well, that's what I think about it. I think the same way about it. You won't find many that are going to disagree with you. And so we communicate on that level. We avoid danger like politicians. And many times there, we don't express any real deep feelings, no real new ideas that we may have, any of those things that we should feel free to express in a wonderful marriage relationship. Then there's a fourth area, and that is when feelings and emotions are honestly expressed. When feelings and emotions are honestly expressed. Now, I know sometimes men think this is sissified preaching, but I want to tell you, some of your wives sitting here tonight are hoping you're listening to this. And they're scared to say amen. They're just smiling from a distance right now when I say that. But there are a lot of them that wish, oh man, I wish my husband, and vice versa, the same thing. Sometimes we need to tell how we feel about something, our hopes, our concerns, our joys, all of those things. We should feel free to express those within the confine of a wonderful relationship in marriage. A missionary couple that I heard about had left the field, and they were headed for a divorce court. And as they were being counseled, she blurted out these words, I didn't love this man when I married him, and I never have loved him since that time. Never have. And finally, when they got all of that out in the open, they began to talk about it. It was transparent. She was able to express herself. Then they worked out their problems, got things right, and went back to the mission field to serve God, because they were able to communicate these things on that level. Then I think there's the highest level of communication, and that is to have absolute honesty and openness in a marriage relationship. Absolute honesty and openness in a relationship, especially a marriage relationship. There's always in that what we would call a risk factor. If you're going to be transparent and honest and open in the right way, the way the Bible talks about it, there's always the risk factor. One of those risks is that there's a fear of being rejected if we bear our souls to our mate. If I tell him that, there's no telling how he'll react. If I say this to her, there's no telling how she will react. The fear of being rejected. And that's what causes a lot of people in their marriages to just sort of clam up. They just don't say anything. They just sit back and don't express their feelings. And I say to you that that is not a healthy situation in a marital situation. All of these things, sometimes these needed things on the part of the husband and the wife, are not brought up. They're not talked about. They're not brought to the surface where they can be discussed, where they should be discussed. And what happens is it's like a splinter that you get way down deep in your finger, down in the flesh. It's sticking down in there, and it just festers up. And then you really have some problems, and that destroys any hope in the marriage of intimacy. And intimacy is what God wants us to have. Then there's the fear of being betrayed. The fear of being betrayed in that relationship. The listener should always respond with loyalty to that mate. How am I going to respond to what she says to me? How am I going to respond to what he says to me? The answer should be that there ought to always be the response of loyalty to that person. Proverbs 31, 11, and 12, listen to the word of God. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Isn't that a great way to trust your mate? The husband, the wife, the husband, it applies to both people. So openness requires a certain amount of vulnerability in our relationship. And many times that's a thing that's going to help. Wife, how do you feel tonight about your husband? Husband, how do you actually feel tonight about your wife? And here's a question. Would you dare tell them? Would you dare take the time to to sit down with them somewhere and tell them about it. Real feelings are not expressed many times because we feel that it would hurt our partners. And so we just hold it in and let it fester and cause some problems in the marriage. Many marriages never, ever, ever get to this level. And that's sad. Many marriages never, ever come to this place. And that creates a lack of the very best that God has for us in marriage. If the truth is presented in a loving manner, in a loving manner, not throwing things and screaming and hollering at a high pitch of a bad temper, not doing that, the husband or the wife, if the truth is presented in a loving manner, generally it will be received that way and will be appreciated if it's presented that way. And I believe we ought to be honest in our relationships, and we should manifest our conversation and be able to tell about what's going on in our heart. Now, opportunity is given whenever we want that. And you've got to have those opportunities. You've got to make those opportunities. It isn't going to happen by accident. What I'm saying by that is you need to plan and schedule some time in the right place, in a loving manner, in a private way, away from all the other interferences, where you can sit down and in a Christ-like way be able to talk about these things. Rethink your priorities. Discuss freely whatever is on your heart. Share your ideas. Share your thoughts without feeling like the other mate is going to take your head off or totally disagree with you or put you down or say that you're ridiculous in what you're thinking. We ought to be able to express ourselves in marriage. The opportunities should be given. Make time, find a place in order to do that. And husbands, sometimes we're not too good at doing that, and many times the wives would really appreciate it. Then there's the wall of ice that comes up. Sometimes this is a problem, and there is a stone wall put up. When somebody is just trying to be loving, and they're trying to be kind, and they're trying to be transparent, and they're just trying to make the marriage better, what happens is, as soon as they speak up, they hit a sensitive area. And when they hit that sensitive area, barriers go up, and immediately the other person wants to change the subject. They just don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to talk about it. Many times, folks, you need to talk about it. You need to really sit down and talk about it, and don't let those barriers go up and change the subject. Now, what causes these communication barriers? What causes these things to be so difficult? One is the word resentment. People resent the fact that somebody tries to tell them something. And so they build up a wall, and one of the walls they build up many times is memory of a previous hurt. And so they don't want to hear that, and they resent it, and so they attack back with the memory of something that has happened in the past, and they bring that to the surface. Let me ask you something tonight, wife or husband. Are you a resentful person? Are you a resentful person? And I want to tell you, if you're a resentful person and you hold that and hold it in and keep it in, then you're not a forgiving person. And listen again to what Ephesians 4 says in verse 32, this is a commandment of the Word of God for husbands and wives in any situation. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I said that'll help in any relationship. That'll help among church members. That'll help in the youth department. That'll help and deacon board. That'll help in pastoral staff relationship. That'll help in marital relationship, because that's the principle of the Word of God. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. After all, God has forgiven us. And if we have accepted His forgiveness, we should be willing to forgive. Jay Adams now, he was a leader in biblical nothetic counseling. And Jay Adams now is not able to go out like he used to, but he's a great biblical counselor. And there was someone that came to him, a couple. Their names are Sue and Wilbur. And Sue said this, "I'm not here because I want to be. My physician told me to come. I have an ulcer that is killing me, and he says it's not caused by any physical reason." He could find no physical reason that was causing that. And then she had a little shopping bag with her, and she reached down in that shopping bag and had some papers about that thick. And she had it typed single spaced on both sides of every offense, of every single thing that he had ever done to her. She had it all typed out. Anything, anytime that he had ruffled her feathers, anytime he had failed her, anytime he had said something that she didn't like, all of this was there, and she had it all in there. And then she said, threw it down and said, "This is why I'm here." As she put all of those grievances down in front of Jay Adams, the counselor. The counselor picked it up, and she, as he went through it, as I said, he saw every hurt, he saw every word, every deed, all of that, that Wilbur had committed for the whole past 13 years. She had kept records for 13 years and laid them all out before him. And she said, as she looked at him, "This is what's giving me my ulcers. This is what the problem really is." The counselor said this, and I want to quote him, "As hostile and resentful as you are, this is a record not only of the faults your husband has committed against you, but also of the sin you have committed against him, against God, and against your own body, for which you are now paying a price." You know why? Because God's word teaches in 1 Corinthians 13, don't hold grudges. Don't keep records. And by the way, some people don't need a tablet. They keep it right here and they keep it right here. They don't need to type it out. They just have a great memory and they don't need a notebook. Another blockage in communion is sometimes a poor self-image of an individual. And this is not pop psychology. This is real life where we live, where there are some hurts and where people really need to be helped. And sometimes people learn to withhold their opinion. They learn to withhold their ideas. They learn to just keep their feelings to themselves. Why? Because maybe they were raised with a poor self-image. And then the mate continues and capitalizes on that. Let me ask you something tonight. Do you contribute to a poor self-image of your mate, of your spouse? Do you contribute to a poor self-image of your spouse? Wives sometimes destroy your husband's self-esteem. And one of the sure ways you can do that, now ladies, listen to me. Listen to me. Are you listening, ladies? Say amen real quiet-like. Yeah, most of you are. Good. But I'm telling you, this is true. Wives will destroy the self-esteem by trying to usurp, listen to me now, leadership, the leadership role in the home. If you do that, you're going to destroy your husband's self-esteem. You say, "Well, he just doesn't, that doesn't matter. You don't have any business doing that, and you're going to destroy his self-esteem." You say, "Well, he's a weasel, and he, that doesn't matter. You don't need to destroy his self-esteem. He is the head of that home. God put him there, and that should be respected." And it doesn't say if he deserves it or not. It's talking about the leadership role in the home, and God has laid that out for us. I can hear her saying, "Are you a man or are you a mouse? Squeak up, amen." Whichever one you are, you ought to be a man. And that doesn't mean you have to be mean and cruel. Sometimes whenever men, and I've seen women do this and men do this, put down their mates in public. That's not good. You may be teasing. That's not even good. It's just not a good thing for anybody's marriage to do that. And when there's a constant put down, you're going to destroy the communication in your marriage, and then you'll be attacking each other. And the problem, the real problem, is lost in the fight. The fight's going on. The problem isn't even being dealt with in that marriage relationship. And so what happens is there's blame fixing. Well, if you hadn't have done so-and-so, if you had done so-and-so, and if this hadn't have done, then I wouldn't have done that. And then he says, well, if you hadn't have done this, if that hadn't have been that way, if you hadn't done that, then I wouldn't be like I am. And the whole problem, nobody's even talking about the problem. They're just blaming each other. That won't help your marriage, folks. And believe me, I talk to enough people and deal with enough people in that situation to know that it can be a real problem. Attacking each other is not the biblical answer. God gives us the way that we should do it, and communication is important, and there ought to be a time for it. There ought to be an attitude for it. There should be the proper Christian approach to the whole thing, and God will bless it. Then there's another thing sometimes that creates a problem. That's what I'd call barking on the inside. There are people, whenever people are trying to communicate and they are trying to be transparent, that happens in churches, that causes church splits and all of these other things, but it certainly will cause a problem in your marriage. And what happens is people blow up or they clam up. They blow up or they clam up. And Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Don't blow up, don't clam up. There can be some anger, but you need to take care of that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, listen, husbands and wives, what the Bible says to us tonight. He says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. What does that mean? It means deal with it on a daily basis. That means communication. That means whatever the problems are, don't let it harbor and just stay in your heart and stay in your life and not deal with it. Deal with it on a daily basis and be willing to deal with it biblically and deal with it the way God says it ought to be dealt with. And every mate should feel like they can be honest and transparent with their mate and talk to them and believe that, hey, together we can work this thing out if both of us will just listen to the Lord, if we'll both just do what God tells us to do. And I know a lot of times people, instead of speaking up, they clam up. They give you the silent treatment. A wife may do that. A husband may do that. And they just get silent and go off. Reminds me of the little girl that was out walking, and a dog came, and she thought the dog was going to attack her. And the dog was growling and everything, and then the dog's master came out and hollered at the dog, and made the dog sit. And the little girl was still shaking, and the master of the dog said, honey, don't worry about it. There's no problem with that dog. That dog's not going to bother you. And the little girl said, in essence, this: I still think that there's a lot of bark on the inside of that dog. And I want to tell you, in marriage relationships, sometimes when the wife clams up or the husband clams up and they don't talk about those things, they just pout and go off like a good Baptist, then you don't solve anything. You don't solve the problems. There should be enough love and enough spirituality and enough biblical principles to guide us in all of our relationships, including that marriage relationship, that things would work out in a way that brings honor and glory to God. Now, what we need to do in many of our marriages, and you say, well, I have a good marriage and we keep the lines of communication open. Praise God. And you ought to be the ones that say amen the loudest. And that's great. But I'm telling you, a lot of people don't do that. I was just talking to someone this past week. I don't want to give you all the details of it, but it was out in a public venue, and she said, I want to talk to you. I need to talk to you. I was there to see another relative. And I went out and talked to this young lady, and it didn't take me very long to figure out what was one of the problems in their marriage. They hadn't been married but about a year. Now they're ready to divorce after about a year. And as she was talking about, she said, well, when we get to discuss, so we just get angry at each other, and we holler at each other, and we scream at each other, and sometimes we even cuss. And I said, well, you know, there was some other things that were said. I said, that's not going to work. That is not going to work. That's not biblical. I said, here's what you need to do. You need to go home and get down 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Get your Bible down and read that and reread it and reread it and reread it. And later on, you call me and you and I talk. And if you can get your husband to come in, we'll sit down sensibly and discuss these things. And you can work these things out. They can be worked out. I understand. I want to say this. I understand it takes both. I understand that. So that we don't blame somebody if your marriage isn't working out. It takes both to work it out. But I'm saying it can be done if it's done the Bible way. And it's not going to be done by young couples screaming and hollering and cussing and doing some of the other things and laying out of church and not putting God first in your life and not letting the sun go down on your wrath and not working these things out so that you can sit down as spiritual, sensible human beings in any situation. Whether it's in your Sunday school class or wherever it may be, that you can sit down and work these things out the way the Bible says they ought to be worked out. Open the lines of communication. James 5:16 gives us a novel idea to most Christians today. A novel idea. It shouldn't be, but it is. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. If husbands and wives would do that, open communication, transparency. Confess your faults one to another. Didn't say confess your mate's fault, but confess yours and let her confess hers or him confess his. Confess your faults one to another. And parents, sometimes that'd be good for you to sit down with your teenager and do. These are good principles of the Word of God. James 5:16. Communication is an art. By the way, it's almost a lost art. Even in our society, we don't talk much anymore. We sit brain dead watching videos and television and all that. It's a lost art in the home. It's a lost art around churches sometimes. We need to talk and communicate. And that's one thing that used to hold the families together was communication and talking and spending some time with each other. But communication is an art, just like a painter learning to paint, or just like someone playing a violin, learning the art of music to play that violin and working on it and working on it and working on it. Communication is an art that if it's committed to God, then there'll be some good success. Now let's go back to verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That should be true in our marriage and in every relationship that we have in life. Now let me just say this. You're never going to have this until first you're saved and the Holy Spirit lives in your heart, the one who can bless this book and use this word and these scriptures to bring you to a right relationship with God first so that you can be in a right relationship with others. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed for just a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray in the homes of our church. For we know as the home goes, so goes the nation, so goes the church, so goes our society. And God, I pray you would strengthen our homes, and I thank you for those where they may have come to that level, that spiritual level of communication. But Lord, I know that many of the homes and many of the marriages are not like that. I pray that you'd speak to the husband. I pray you'd speak to the wife. I pray you'd speak to us and about all of our relationships tonight and help us to be biblical and to do the right thing that we might bring honor and glory to you. We know, dear God, that you've told us there's a way to have victory. And that victory is through your principles, through your word. And one of the things that we need to do is to communicate, to be able to allow others to communicate to us, and to feel free to communicate to our mate. God, may you help our homes and our marriages tonight. I pray that you might be glorified in it. If there's somebody here without Christ, help them to be saved. There's someone who needs to do business with you about a marital need. I pray that it would be taken care of, or any relationship that you may have touched a heart about. In Jesus' name, amen.